The Japanese Empire's December 1941 attack on Pearl Harbor was by no means confined to the harbor. It was a carefully planned, well-rehearsed, island-wide attack, and most of its battle sites at Hickam Field, Wheeler Army Airfield, Marine Corps Air Station Kaneohe Bay, and Fort Island have long ago been designated as National Historic Landmarks. All except one, Marine Corps Air Station Eva, one of the first military installations to be hit by the approaching attack force. John Bond is a history buff who has made it his mission to remind us of the battle that raged there the morning of December 7th. He's giving a talk on the subject in Honolulu this Saturday. He's on the line with us now. Good morning, John.
Hi, good morning, Chris. How are you doing?
Pretty good. Thanks very much for doing this. And this is a fascinating sort of side story of history, isn't it?
Well, we think it's actually a big story. Goes back 1925 and then all the way through to the Battle of Midway and beyond. Actually, a very large story came out of this airfield, but I could talk a long time about it, so go ahead and just ask me whatever you would like to ask.
Well, what goes back to 1925?
Well, originally it was set up as a mooring mast for the Navy airship program, which was a big thing at the time, and but the airships on the main one kept crashing, so they revised the whole program in 1932. They redesigned the mooring mast, which originally was 160 feet high, a major landmark in Eva, and they cut it down about two-thirds for the later generation airships. Those, unfortunately, also crashed, so they wound up not getting any airships out here, even though the Germans planned one of their airships to make a world tour and stop at Eva. They didn't at the time. So anyway, in 1941, it was turned over to the Marines to set up a Marine Corps advanced airfield.
One of the things about the Pearl Harbor attack that isn't always discussed is how effectively the Japanese attacking force neutralized our ability to respond, our air capability, right? The Japanese knocked out a lot of planes without ever allowing them to take off, and thereby preventing an aerial battle over Pearl Harbor. Is that accurate?
Yeah, it's very accurate. The Japanese had an extremely well-planned attack. They had mapped out everything in great detail. They had actually done a lot of pre-air reconnaissance.
Mm-hmm.
There was even we have now an air photo of taken by the Japanese that morning of December 7th right over Eva Field. And so they also took movies of the whole attack going in and out.
Mm-hmm.
And so they were very interested in documenting the whole thing in great detail because they knew it was a significant battle. But the main part that happened was the first wave came through and they took out Wheeler Field, which the aircraft were pursuit fighters, so they wanted to make sure those were taken out.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next hit was Eva Field because they had Marine Wildcat pursuit fighters, and they wanted to make sure those were taken out because the main force actually came right through the Eva plain.
Mm-hmm.
So they wanted to make sure nothing was in the way. So the Japanese had a very good combat air patrol of Zero fighters that really did a precise, excellent job of shooting down everything.
And those aircraft that got neutralized at Eva and at Wheeler would have been a pretty effective response to the Zeros had they been able to get them in the air, right?
Well, actually, that's the great story about Eva Field that most people don't know about, is the major air battles of December 7th actually took place right over Eva Field.
Mm-hmm.
There was many significant battles, including the two guys in the P-40s out of Hale Iwa, Taylor and Welch, who flew down and shot down Japanese planes over Eva Field. But the Japanese had previously shot down five Navy dive bombers from the USS Enterprise that were coming in to land at Fort Island.
Mm-hmm.
And people forget about them. They were shot down all over Eva Field, and a couple made emergency landings at the field. And then there was also B-17s coming in from California, and they flew right over Eva Field and got caught up in the air attack. So there was actually a very large air battle that went on over Eva Field, all totally forgotten.
Well, yeah, John, most people, even people who think they know a little bit about the attack, have never heard of Eva Field.
Oh, yeah. It was submerged because it was incorporated into Barbers Point Naval Air Station in 1952 when the base closed. The Marine aircraft went over to Kaneohe.
Mm-hmm.
So the Marine history was pretty much eliminated from most people. And then it got sort of historically worse because the Navy made Eva Field a Naval Air Station, not officially, but a designated Naval Air Station in 1942, and even incorporated it into Barbers Point Naval Air Station as well. So the whole history got shifted over to Barbers Point, and Eva Field just was largely forgotten for literally decades.
Well, John, it does look as if at Marine Corps Air Station Eva, on the morning of December 7th, there was a pretty heroic effort at resistance, yeah?
Well, they did what they could. They had, people don't realize at the time, there was no any aircraft guns or anything. All they had, keep in mind that they had just sent off their best planes and pilots to Midway and Wake Island. Wake was later overrun later that day by Japanese invasions. It actually took about 20 days, I think. So their best planes were gone, best pilots. These were mostly just mechanics who were getting ready to sit down for Sunday morning breakfast, and they had nothing but 1908 Springfield rifles, very, very old, bolt-action rifles. That's the only thing they had, but a few had 45 pistols and a couple of Thompson submachine guns around, but that took a while just to find ammunition for them.
Not much use against fighter aircraft, right?
No, they... some people believe they shot down maybe one or two, but no one can prove it because there was so much bullets flying in every direction, including from the Taylor and Welch P-40s. And then what happened was the people over at Pearl Harbor, once they saw the Japanese planes regrouping over Eva Field, which was their regrouping point, all fired at Eva Field. So there was incoming 50 caliber and 5-inch shells and everything falling all over the place out in Eva. So it was incredibly well shot up. The Japanese emptied all their machine guns into the cars out here. Fortunately, there was not a large loss of life, amazingly enough, two civilians from the incoming artillery, and then three Marines killed directly in combat, one killed indirectly.
What it speaks to, John, is just how comprehensive the Pearl Harbor attack was. It approached the island from all sides, neutralized, a potential responding aircraft on the ground. I mean, it was a military masterpiece.
Oh, it was. In fact, the U.S. has studied the attack on Pearl Harbor for decades in war colleges and everything because it was by far the largest. It included six aircraft carriers. So to coordinate six aircraft carriers and all the takeoffs and landings was a huge task in itself. And then they have a huge number of airplanes in the air and try to coordinate them, which the Japanese did have difficulty with that. There was a number of false mistakes that they made. But overall, they were incredibly lucky because of the U.S. being totally asleep and the weather being generally in their favor and so forth. So it wound up being a very good day for the Japanese and a well-planned attack.
Well, it's a great story. Thanks very much for talking with us, John.
Okay, thanks for letting me speak about it. Thank you.
Historian John Bond will take part in a Japanese Culture Center of Hawaii event this Saturday, Remembering History, Honouliuli and Eva Field. The event runs from 10:30 a.m. to 1 p.m. It's free and open to the public, and you can get details on our Facebook page.